You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com. You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Heaven, God bless you. Word of Hope through Jesus Christ Ministry welcomes you. Received Radio. And we are also on podcast. Before we get to the message, we are on podcast, WOHTJC Ministry, The Journey. You can visit all three websites, www.wordofhopethroughjesuschrist.com, www.iReceivedRadio.com, and www.wohtjcministry.com. And stop by and visit. Enjoy. Much to see there. Let's give blessings into the message here, Father. We enlighten those who are burdened, Father God, who are weary, who are weak, who are in stress, in battles of the demonic entities that are entering them through their friends, their family. It doesn't matter where they will come and attack through any way, any means possible. It will cause havoc, because we know that the evil one has only come to this earth, was cast out of the heavens, and landed upon this earth only to try to conquer, have his world, and only steal, kill, and destroy. In the name of Jesus, we can use the name of Jesus. There's power in the name. There's healing and power in the blood. And through the Holy Spirit that we received in holy baptism, upon receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have all the authority and the power over any evil demonic entity, the demon, the evil one. We fear not. We will walk straight. We will stand firm. Plant our feet on the rock of salvation, resurrection, restoration. Salvation is ours. If you have not received, and I encourage you folks, anyone out there, please, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? When you leave this world, you cannot take anything with you. Oh, Father, we know this to be true and be fact and accurate, because your word is true. It is written, it is written. But we also hear Jesus speaking, it is said, and it is said that there's lies, there's deceiving, there's misleading, misdeeding, in all different ways to guide us away from the true word where it is written. Father, we redeem ourselves in Christ. We reclaim our identity as in you have divinely created us from the beginning of Genesis 1:26-28. Father God, we give you all the glory, praise, that you supply all of our needs in your riches, according to your riches, in your glory by Jesus Christ. Father God, we trust you, believe in you. We lean on your Son, the gift that you gave to us, the ultimate gift, Father God, that you gave all. You gave your Son, and your Son gave all. Father God, thank you in the name of Jesus, your Son, my Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, folks, let's give it the message. And it's on tithing, 10%. 10% has been lifted and removed when Jesus Christ died on the cross in the temple. It was shaken, and the veil was rent top to bottom, ripped in half, completely in half. And the veil was approximately, and that temple was approximately 3.5 inches thick. And to mankind, it seemed impossible, merely impossible, to rip in half. But as we move forward, Jesus said, "It is finished. All things have finished. All things have passed away. And behold, everything becomes new." All things are new. And that means the way you give, the way you offer. And it was even from the beginning that Jesus claimed it. He claimed it, proclaimed it in Mark. Mark 12, I believe, here we're going to be reading. Mark 12. And we're going to read about it's a short version. Verse, and we're going to read into that, and I'll give a little bit of scripture into it, and find it in your heart to receive Jesus Christ in your heart, to give from the heart, not reluctantly, not under pressure, not suppressed into thoughts of Satan thinking that you didn't give enough. Give from your heart. Give from your heart. But being a cheerful giver. Give with a cheerful heart. And in Luke 6:38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, will be measured back to you. Now in Malachi 3:10, where a lot of, let's put it this way, a lot of folks will speak in church about this verse of 3:10. It's the thing of the past. It's old and passed away. Behold, all things became new at the cross, at the divine gift, ultimate gift. And singing in here, it's singing in here. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me through the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. And they were talking about tenth, one-tenth of everything. One-tenth, and tithing is a tenth. It means tenth, one-tenth of what you earn, or what you have, what your savings, whatever you hold, and divinely from your heart. At that time, it was 10%. And that was the gatherings and the harvesting, and we'll read into that. Now, Deuteronomy 15:10, you shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him. Because for this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and all that you undertake. 2 Corinthians 8:12, for if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. And, of course, we're going to read 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 7. And it's give sparingly. Who gives sparingly will reap sparingly. But in 2 Corinthians 9:10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for will. Let me start this again. I'm sorry. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Proverbs 15:13, a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but a sorrow heart, the spirit of crushed and is crushed. Folks, we just give from the heart, from the heart. And it expresses the fact of who gets what in the multitude of what you have and what is told to give. But once we step into, we'll just go into 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 7 in the English Standard Version. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Praise the Lord, right? And God so loved the world that he gave his only one begotten son, right? And we know this to be a fact also. Jesus gave all. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? That is so good. So good. So good. And Mark 12, 41, 44, New International Version, the widow's offering. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw a large amount, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, said Jesus, "Truly I tell you, this poor woman has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty, she put in everything and she had to live on." That's all she had to live on, folks, and she put it all in. She went all in, just like Jesus Christ did. She gave up her life. She could have starved. Elijah, when he was in, I believe, 2 Kings, when he came across, what was divine purpose was to run into this woman that was picking up sticks for a fire, and she was going home to cook, basically, what I understand, her last meal. This could be my last meal for me and my son. And Elijah says, "I'm coming to your house. I'm hungry. Bake me a cake. Make me a cake first." She says, "I don't have enough meal. I don't have enough oil. How can I do this? Me and my son will starve if I do this. We won't have anything to eat." Elijah says, "Bake me a cake and you shall never, ever run out of flour or oil. It will be overflowing for you." And I'm getting goosebumps right now, folks. I'm getting lit up in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah, my God. Oh, yes, yes, yeah, yeah, no. Oh, yeah. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Now, I like the translation in the Passion translation. And we're going to read Mark 12 completely. And that also includes what we just read here in the woman with the two copper coins. Parable of the tenants. Then Jesus began to speak to them in parables. There once was a man who planted a vineyard and put a secure fence around it. He dug a pit for it, for its wine press, and erected a watchtower. Then he leased it to the tenant farmers and traveled abroad. When the time of harvest came, he sent one of his servants to the tenants to collect the landowner's share of the harvest. But the tenants seized him and beat him and sent him back empty-handed. So the owner sent another servant to them, and that one they shamefully humiliated and beat over the head. So he sent out another servant, and they brutally killed him. Many more servants were sent out, and they were all brutally beaten and killed. Or killed. The owner had only one person left to send, his only son, whom he dearly loved. So he sent him to them, saying, "Surely they will restrain themselves and respect my son." But the tenants saw their chance and said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and then we'll inherit it all." So they violently seized him and killed him and threw his body over the fence. So what do you think the owners of the vineyard will do? He will come and put to death to those tenants and give his vineyard to others. Haven't you read what the psalmist said? The stone the builders examined and rejected has become the cornerstone, the most important stone of all. This was the Lord's plan, and he is wonderful for our eyes to behold. Now the chiefs, religious scholars, and leaders realized that Jesus' parable was aimed at them. They had hoped to arrest him then and there, but they feared the reaction of the crowd, so they left him alone and went away. paying taxes to Caesar. Then they sent a delegation of Pharisees together with some staunch supporters of Herod to entrap Jesus with his own words. So they approached him and said, "Teacher, we know that you're an honest man of integrity and you teach us the truth of God's ways. We could clearly see that you're not one who speaks only to win people's favor, because you speak the truth without regard to the consequences. So tell us then, what do you think? Is it proper for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said to them, "Why are you testing me? Show me one of the Roman coins." They brought him a silver coin used to pay the tax. "Now tell me," Jesus said, "whose head is on this coin, and whose inscription is stamped on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. Jesus said, "Precisely. The coin bears the image of the emperor Caesar, so you should pay the emperor his portion."
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. "Honey, there's water in the basement." Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
"Because you bear the image of God, you must give back to God all that belongs to him." And they were utterly stunned by Jesus' words. The question came about marriage. Some of the Sadducees, a religious group that denied they were a resurrection of the dead, came to ask Jesus this question. "Teacher, the law of Moses teaches that if a man dies before he has children, his brother should marry the widow and raise up children for his brother's family line. Now there was a family with seven brothers. The oldest got married, but soon died, and he had no children. The second brother married, and his oldest brother's widow, and he has also died without any children, and the third also. This repeated down to the seventh brother, none of whom had children. Finally, the woman died. So here's our dilemma. Which of the seven brothers will be the woman's husband when she resurrects from the dead, since they all were once married to her?" Jesus answered them, "You are mistaken, because your hearts are not filled with the revelation of the scriptures of the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, men and women will not marry, just like the angels of heaven don't marry. Now concerning the resurrection, you haven't read into the Torah. God said to Moses at the burning bush, 'I am the living God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' God is not God of the dead, but of the living, and you are all badly mistaken." The greatest commandment. Now, a certain religious scholar overheard them debating. When he saw how beautiful Jesus answered their questions, he posed one of his own and asked him, "Teacher, which commandment is the greatest of all?" Jesus answered them, "The most important of all the commandments is this: the Lord Yahweh, our God, is one. You are to love the Lord Yahweh, your God, with a passionate heart from the depth of your soul, with every thought, and with all your strength. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is, you must love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. You will never find a greater commandment than these." The religious scholars replied, "Yes, this is true, teacher. You spoke beautifully when you said that God is one, and there is one, no one else besides him. And there is something more important to God than all the sacrifices and burnt offerings. It's the commandment to consistently love God with every passion of your heart, with your every thought, and with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor in the same way as you love yourself. When Jesus noticed how thoughtfully and sincerely the man answered, he said to them, "You're not far from the reality of God's kingdom." After that, no one dared to question him again. Jesus, Son of David, Lord of David. When Jesus was teaching in the courts of the temple, he posed a question to those listening. Why do you all, the religious scholars, say that the Messiah is David's son? And that it was David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, who sang. Yahweh said to my Lord, "Sit near me in the place of authority until I subdue all your enemies under your feet." Since David calls him Lord, how can he be the Son of the Lord? The large crowd listened to him with delight. Jesus warns against the religious scholars. Jesus had also taught people, beware of the religious scholars. They love to parade around in their clergy robes and be great and greeted with respect on the street. They crave to be made the leaders of the synagogue councils, and they push their way to the head table at banquets. For appearance's sake, they will pray long religious prayers at the homes of widows for an offering, cheating them out of their very livelihood. Beware of them all, for they will one day be stripped of honor, and the judgment they received will be served. The widow's offering. Then he sat down near the offering box, watching all the people dropping into the box their coins. Many of the rich would put in very large amounts, but a destituted widow walked up and dropped in two small copper coins, worth less than a penny. Jesus called his disciples to gather around and said to them, "I tell you truly, this poor widow has given a larger offering than any of the wealthy, for the rich only gave out of their surplus, but she gave all out of her poverty, and gave to God all that she had to live on, which was everything she had."
Amen.
Folks, if you understand where we're heading with all this, it's just a fact. Don't let anybody tell you. My opinion, the way I read the scriptures, you don't give a tenth. And including myself, I don't ask for 10%. I don't ask for you to feel guilty about not offering anything to this ministry or to any others. You give from the heart. If you don't have anything, don't give anything. But if you have two coins and you could live on one, give the other up. That's what we do. And that's how we surplus for each and one another in the flesh. But we all know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I had to take a sip of my coffee. We all know that the fact is, the scripture, it is said. That when you give from the heart, all things will flow back to you according to what you have seed planted to one another in each storehouse. The many, many, many places, and I'm not going to put this in a bad way. I'm just going to say it straight out. Many areas that you worship and gather with might ask for certain things, and they throw divine prayers up, and that's all good. Pray unto the Lord, but also remember, whatever you have in your heart to offer, that's what God loves, because God knows what's in your heart. He understands your dilemma. And if you have five copper coins, in other words, if you have $5, five $1 bills, and you only give one to keep the four, because you are in fear of not having enough, don't be ashamed. Pray on it. Say, "Lord, I know I believe in you. I have faith in you. I trust in you." Hebrews 11:1. I know I have the insurance deed, the title deed in faith, Father God, but I have something that's bothering me. But I will give something and find it in my heart next time that I go to church or fellowship or gathering or whatever I'm doing in the next travel, that I would hold back one of these dollars. I just keep three and I'd give an extra one the next time I go, because I find it through discernment, the download that we received in Holy Spirit, that divine connection, the prayer connection, ultimate wireless connection. Folks, as you travel, as you walk your journey for your mission, you give to the mission. And also remember what your destiny is. God's kingdom, Heavenly Father loves you. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He understands you more than you ever would ever understand yourself, because God created each and every one of us as a divine masterpiece, perfect in His image, perfect in His likeness. We just gave it up and lost it, gave it away as we grew up from the birth, from the womb, from our mothers, and the vessel that we had appeared into this world through. Through God's creation, the spark of life God gave each and every one of us in our mothers, from our father, in the divine connection they had. And the spark of life is where you're at. And let me tell you something. Don't ever underestimate yourself that you are lesser than what you think you are. Ever. And don't let anyone make you think that you're lesser than what you are, than what you think you might be. And disturb your thoughts, because that will tear you down and separate you from God, because then you start doubting God, and I don't want you to do that. Hold faith. Give from your heart. God knows. Don't be guilty. But honestly, give something. Give something. You always must give something. I truly believe in that. Whether the churches and organizations handle and hold and distribute properly, it's out of your hands. You gave from your heart. You gave to the Lord, because God owns everything. Everything belongs to God. And as I'm speaking here, we go into John, just for the bold fact that God, everything belongs to God. It's very simply said right here in John, 1 John. And I'll bring that up right now. As I'm speaking, give from the heart, folks, because nothing, we own nothing. We can take nothing back with us. Nothing. It all belongs to God. Just remember that. And your heart not only will be replenished with more love and everything that you could ever desire, that you never thought you could receive in many different ways, you'll be amazed how God works. You will be so amazed how God works. And in 1 John, proclaim to what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, and with the Son and Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. God is good, right? Oh, God is so good. I love my Lord Jesus. Yes, I love my Jordan Lord. That's through Him. All things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Everything. Everything belongs to God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for this gathering. And we want to thank you, Father God, for all that you do and what you don't do for us. And in secret, as we go into our secret place, in the car, or wherever we're at, and pray to you, Father God, forgiveness, humble ourselves before you and say, Lord, I'm not sure what I did wrong, but please forgive me. And I come to you, Father God, to help and build a storehouse, because we know in Matthew, Father God, it's written, it is said, that the disciple says, when did we ever see you hungry and thirsty, Jesus, Master? When did we ever see you in prison and sick? And Jesus told him all. You did not feed me when I was hungry. You did not give me something to drink when I was thirsty. You did not clothe me. You did not come see me when I was sick. You did not come to prison. And prison means, folks, in your battles. If you've got a friend that's battling his demons of drinking, and he's in prison himself. It doesn't mean behind bars, incarcerated. You can be in prison inside your own body. You're a prisoner inside your own self. But you can set yourself free. You can be made free. You will be made free. In the Word of God, His Word will set you free. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and give you all the glory, Father. Now, folks, you have a good evening, good day, wherever you're at. God bless you. I love you. Jesus Christ loves you. Word of hope through Jesus Christ loves you. Thank you for being a part of IReceiveRadio.com and I Receive Radio from the heart. And that's what I got the name from. When I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I said, well, you know what? I think I'm going to call it I Received. Did you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I encourage you to do so. It'd be the best decision you ever made in your life, because it's a divine connection that you're empty and you're void and you're looking for. No Corvette will fill it. No divine fingernail and toenail painting and designing will fulfill it. No boats, no motorcycles, no big houses, nothing, because you'll keep desiring more, something else. But when you're in Christ and you receive Jesus into that void, that emptiness that we have, that you have, trust me, believe and read, be connected, immerse in the Father's Word, in the Bible, and you'll see things disappear. You'll see things in a different way, and God will provide. And if he takes, it's a purpose. God takes. God will always give, because if he takes, it's taken into heaven. It will be given back to you as you receive yourself into heaven. God bless you. Stay toasty. Keep your joy. I love you. Jesus Christ loves you.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.